Lord, may help me and ask your attention to Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, and I'll read verses 12, 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In reading that 111th Psalm, and this first chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Church at Colossae, there we find essentially the same glorious things set forth, and we find the psalmist giving thanks unto the Lord and desiring to declare and set forth the wonderful works of God. And he particularly touches upon those wonderful works of God, both as they were then and still displayed in nature, in providence, and essentially in grace. Yes, the works of the Lord are indeed to declare and set forth his greatness as well as his goodness. Why, the whole of creation does bear witness and testimony to this, the greatness, the wisdom, and the power of our God. And no less so, the works of God as manifest in providence, in his dealings, in and with, in the outworking of all his divine appointments, with regard to the whole of his creation and in respect to each and every aspect of that creation, and surely no less as it is evident in his ways and dealings with men and women, and especially so as it concerns his church and his people. It is again as the psalmist expresses it in another psalm, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. As I have said, oftentimes the crying sin of fallen human nature is in this, that they do not acknowledge God, neither are they thankful. But though that is sadly and solemnly so, the psalmist has particularly a word addressed as it is, and similarly here with the apostle, for those whom the psalmist describes as the redeemed of the Lord, and as the apostle is here writing similarly to the people of God. Oh, he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mentioned also many times in the past, and that is that if ever a people should be a thankful people, it is sinners saved by grace. Oh, if we're brought to know anything of the saving mercy of God as revealed to us in all that the Lord Jesus Christ is and hath done for us, as the apostle blessedly sets forth in these words of our text, have we not cause? Is it not incumbent upon us to not merely acknowledge the same, but to bear witness and testimony to the wonders of divine grace, of redeeming mercy, of pardoning love? Again, the Apostle Peter reminds us of this when writing, as he does, to the people of God, to sinners called by grace, abroad. The apostle reminds us here from under the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, how it is not only incumbent upon us, but surely should it not be daily our concern to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. So as I was saying, not only with the psalmist, praising God and declaring his wonderful works, and that particularly regard to the blessings of his grace, as made known in the salvation, the redemption of sinful men and women, even as many as the Lord our God does call, as many as he hath given in that covenant ordered in all things and sure unto his beloved Son. And our friends, though the church here upon earth, no less so in the generation in which we live, has often been so down of the years as well, is but a remnant in the earth. And yet let us not forget that as we see the whole gathered in and there around at the throne of God, as the apostle was shown to the apostle John, there in those visions upon the Isle of Patmos, as a number which no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, from under heaven. Yes, great are the works of our God, and surely the greatness of them is seen and manifest in these wonders of his love and of his grace. The apostle then here sets forth the same glorious truths, not only calling our attention to, but surely encouraging us to give thanks unto the Lord for all that he is and all that he hath done. The psalmist again said that the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Ah, friends, is there that concern and desire with your soul and mind, not only to hear of these things, but of that wherein, and the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit, we are brought a very real sense, not only to meditate thereupon, but also to know what it is, believingly, to feed upon the same. Oh, what is that which alone can and does bring a real spiritual profit to your soul and mind? Is that which is for not only our enlightenment, but also for our encouragement and consolation? Is it not of what, as these things of what the Lord has done, as revealed to us in the precious truth of the gospel, but made known unto us through that gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we are brought in the believing realization of this. Oh, that not only of what the Lord has done for his church, for his people, glorious as that is, and ever, friend, him to be praised for the same. But oh, is not this, in a sense, the greatest wonder of all, that such a sinner as you and I should have a part, an interest in the same? That not only that the Lord Jesus laid down his life for his people, glorious truth. But oh, that as witness to our own soul, that he laid down his life for us. Ah, that for you, needy, guilty sinner, ah, well may you say, is it the exercise and cry of your soul this night? Oh, is there, tell me, can there be hope of mercy, e'en for me? Ah, sure, friend, where such a cry and desire is found, yes, deeply aware as you are, your own undeserving, nothing to earn of your own, yet, oh, do not lose sight of the glorious truth of this. As our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am come, and come for what? I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. What is sweetly testified there, as we find here in the language of the apostle? It is, friends, not what the sinner can do, not what we're expected to do, to even contribute, but oh, of what God himself, God has revealed in Jesus Christ. God has made his works of manifest in the hearts and lives of sinners, that gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes, what our God and Saviour has both done and indeed does make known to the praise of the glory of his name. And ah, surely, friends, it is this alone that is and will be a joyful sound to you and I. As one well expresses it in those words, no other gospel, the only gospel we can own, sets Jesus Christ upon his throne, proclaims salvation full and free for wretched, ruined, as sinners, as such as we. Ah, will any other gospel, friends, do for you and I? But that which not tells us, and I say again, what the sinners can do, or even is exhorted to do, but what God in Christ has done, and has that made known for the blessed power of the Holy Spirit. Here, the apostle, friends, draws not only the attention of the brethren there at Colossae, but I trust ours also, and under the blessing of the Lord tonight, we may know what it is for our hearts to be warmed and moved and drawn to the Lord in giving thanks unto his name, in the realization not both of what he has done and through that witness of the Holy Spirit, our soul's interest in the same. Ah, is not this, I say again, the vital thing that one says, an interest in the Saviour's blood, our pardon sealed, and peace with God? Well, it is then true to the Church of Jesus Christ there at Colossae, the apostle was writing, and to them as sinners saved by grace. And also we know that at this juncture the apostle had not visited Colossae. He had not exercised ministry there in that place. Though the gospel had obviously been brought and preached amongst them, and Paul makes mention particularly of Epaphras, of whom Paul had heard of the grace of God that was so evident there, amongst that company there in Colossae. And for this, the apostle gives thanks as he declares, oh, rejoicing, wherever there was the mark and evidence of the work of God's grace in the hearts and lives of sinners. even though he himself was not necessarily instrumental in either the bringing of the gospel to them, or through the through him that the word was blessed to them. Oh, the whole concern of the apostle was this. And friends, may we realize more of the same spirit there as was there evidenced in Paul, rejoicing wherever there is the mark and evidence of the work of God's grace, and desiring the spiritual prosperity of those thus who have been brought, whatever the means may be and be used, into the saving knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And notice here as well the prayerful concern the apostle had for the brethren there. Though, no doubt, he was not personally acquainted with many of them, and yet, friends, as believers through grace, oh, see here the prayer, prayerfully concerned for them is the apostle. And oh, to know for ourselves that enlargement of heart that truly seeks the welfare of all that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Yes, what diversity of personalities are there, even amongst the people of God. But oh, surely, friends, there is that wherein all can and do find real union and fellowship, and that is in that grace that they have received, and all joining in this to give thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and deeply conscious of this, that we have nothing of our own to commend us to him. We have nothing of our own to glory in. No, what have we? What had the apostle himself to bring to the Lord, as it were, any supposed ground of access and acceptance? Nothing of his own. His whole was founded and grounded upon this, as a sinner, and yet a sinner saved by grace and indebted to the Lord. And ever and surely, friends, that is so with the people of God still. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Know how deeply indebted we are. Oh, to realize it more and more in all the soul humbly of the sinner indeed. That the sinner humbling of the soul, and the Lord Jesus Christ exalting power of the same. In debtors, brethren, we are debtors. Owe all to the Lord and to that fullness and freeness of his grace. Well, to these brethren here, the apostle expresses his thankfulness for what he had heard, the grace of God that they were partakers of, as he expresses his prayer for them, as he seeks also to encourage them still in the way and in the continuance in the outwalking of those things that they had received and have been brought to believe, and in the realization, as he here sets before them and us in these words, upon whence all does proceed, and upon which all that pertains to the blessings of salvation, both for them and for sinners still, through the grace of God, upon which all is founded, and that is that the covenant Lamb of God, the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the glorious power of the Holy Spirit in the work of the regeneration and calling of each and every one of his own. There are three words which surely, friends, are that which express the very wonders of these things. And see how they are brought before us in these verses. And those three words are this: love, blood, and power. Ah, see here the wonderful works of our God, and of which surely we are caused to give thanks unto his name, for as both the psalmist, and here again as I said with the apostle, and are not these sought out of all that have pleasure therein? Oh, friends, can we tire of hearing of these things? Is it not, I trust, what is our desire? Oh, Lord, evermore, give us this brain. Open up these things more and more to our own souls. Oh, may we be founded and grounded in the glorious truths of the same, and in that believing hope and expectation of the realization of what is thus set forth. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice here the glorious truth of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is blessedly set forth. Here we have the eternal, the electing love of God, giving thanks unto the Father. Yes, is not all to be traced up to all the blessings of salvation for sinners as we are to be traced up to this? And oh, friends, what a fullness is here, traced up to this, the sovereign will and the good pleasure of our God. Or as the apostle puts it in his epistle to the Ephesians, the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, see how all is owed to that covenant love of the Father, to the covenant love of the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the covenant love of the Holy Spirit, in the power that is put forth, in the calling and in the keeping and in the bringing of each and every one into the realization of the fullness of those blessings of eternal life, to the praise of the glory of his name, giving thanks unto the Father. Just touch upon this as well. Here the relationship of God as it regard to his one and his true church. Let us not forget that this relationship of God as our Father which is in heaven is that, friends, which is applies to the children only. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and see how, in what he made known to his disciples, how he testifies of the blessed reality of this relationship. And surely, friends, one of the blessed fruits and effects of that gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness with our spirit of the glorious reality of this and of our soul's interest in it. As Paul, writing to the Romans, said because ye are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, do we know the witness of it? We brought their friends. So in all our approaches unto God, 'tis no presumption for the soul taught of the Holy Spirit. We draw near to God in the realization of this. Our Father, makers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We find here that all the blessings of salvation are traced up to the very work of God the Father, to the wondrous work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, and to the glorious work of the eternal Spirit that made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Just two things here briefly I must touch upon, and they are this: made us meet and to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is it that alone can and does fit us for that inheritance, for the very presence of God? Ah, friends, will not this be the greatest wonder of all? As one well expressed it, wonder above wonders, to see one black as eye, white without spot and blemish, before the throne on high. Oh, how can that ever be? How and what has God done that could make such a guilty sinner thus meet for the inheritance of the saints in light? Ah, surely here is a work which no friends man can do, either personally or combined. Ah, but who can deliver from the curse of a broken law? Who can meet the demands of divine justice against sinners as we are, that have transgressed the whole of the law of God? For remember, he that offendeth in one point is guilty of all, says the Apostle James. And as Paul reminds us, what a solemn truth it is, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How then can such a one, is it not, friends, concern, a deep exercise with you and I? How can a sinner black as I be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light? Oh, God hath done it. He hath appointed it. He hath provided for it. And wherein is that? Notice, friends, how these questions were raised in the two hymns we've sung this evening. And not only the question raised, but oh, the answer given as well. And it is here in this twofold aspect, in, as he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That is how God has done it. This is the wondrous work of God. He's redeemed his people. Why, the psalmist touched upon that glorious truth. He hath redeemed us both by price and by power. See that wondrous work of God, there accomplished as it is in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that high priestly prayer of our Lord, of John 17. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Ah, it is the reality of that finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we are reminded here, both the price that he hath paid, who hath in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, and thus needy sinner, sinner brought to cry unto God for mercy. Oh, see here the price that has been paid, a price not for you to pay, but which another has paid even, our Lord Jesus Christ, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As one well expressed it, upon a life I did not live, upon a life death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. And that life and that death is that which is that of another true, even of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath died for us and rose again. He hath died to put away the sins of his people, and a full atonement he hath made. Oh, friends, not one sin of his people is left unatoned for. What does the Lord say? May he speak it to your heart and mine afresh this evening. Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more forever. No, for full atonement he hath made, and what's more, has brought in everlasting righteousness, the obedience and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, even through this, the forgiveness of sins unto the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. And again also by power, as the Lord redeemed his people. Here we see the wonderful work of our God. It is said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, as we are found by nature, dead in trespasses and sins, and the bondage of sin and Satan, see the almighty power that is put forth there, the wonderful works of God to deliver thus a sinner from that bondage and that death, and to bring into the light, life and liberty of the gospel, delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And what a glorious kingdom that is, the kingdom of his grace here and of his glory hereafter. Oh, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What an inheritance is ours, as by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are found. Oh, I say, what an inheritance is ours. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And may the Spirit witness still our soul's interest, these glorious things, and we truly give thanks unto the Father for the same. But I'll leave the remarks there. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.